After a slight hiatus, we are back with another edition of MSECU Radio. Howdy, everyone. I'm your host, Brian. I'm fresh off my Costa Rican vacation. I am tan. Clemson is 3-0. And everything is good in the world. For me. But let's meet our guest. Joining us from the reaches of Long Island, it is Ryan. How are things?
Doing good. I am currently going all Tupac with my Hit 'Em Up 2015 Sports Remix that's going after not Bad Boy Records and Biggie, but the guy on CMU that concussed Eric Dungy of Syracuse, the quarterback, which means now we're going to lose to LSU by 40 instead of a mere 28. Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR driver for wrecking Kevin Harvick, NASCAR six-time champ wrecking the current champ, and as well as Matto Flamini, some guy on Arsenal I've never heard of before that scored a brace against Spurs today. And, of course, Harry Kane's bicycle kick got blocked out at the line by some defender. So, and the Mets are blowing a lead, so I got to maybe include the Braves on that soon. So, fun times. But, hey, the Jets are 2-0, and Syracuse is somehow 3-0, so I guess I can't complain that much, right?
This is your reminder never to be born in New York, folks. An important reminder. That way lies sadness. Also, another New York native joining us, another Syracuse fan, too. It is Boat Drinks. How are things?
I'm not drunk yet.
That's problematic.
But I do have the beverage. I have a couple more bites of dinner. It'll be okay.
That's true. That is true. And then finally, we have our third member of the New York contingent, though he's not from New York. We should stress that. It is Bevo. How are things?
They're great. It's nice and beautiful. The season is starting to change, and I'm enjoying it.
Nice.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah. And you're praying to God traffic and the crowds are not a complete clusterfuck.
I actually kind of enjoy that because I get to walk and point at people that are in cars and laugh at them.
He's got the city thing down.
It's fabulous. We all get to walk and watch. You know, there's fences, there's barricades, and then there's people in cars with veins sticking out on their foreheads. It might open up an apartment, so you never know.
That is true.
By the way, I know. Okay. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah.
So, good evening, everyone.
So the first fun topic, because you know I'm a sucker, and I laughed, as did Apple Cores and Texan, when we heard the news that Mr. Patterson is no longer the AD at Texas.
Thank God. I have to credit Gooner and Sardi because they both warned the Longhorn Chariot about what he was like, and everything they said was just it was true.
Yeah.
So glad he's gone.
You know, it was actually, I think, was it Burnt Orange Nation that had the article up today that pointed out kind of how impressive it was to get fired in 2 years?
I thought that too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's Texas, right? I mean, we hung on to Mac for 5 years knowing full well that, you know, Bama broke him.
Yeah.
We gave... I mean, Makovic, for Christ's sakes, Route 66. It took Route 66 for that guy to finally get kicked out. And he cried in the locker room. This is a man that drank wine and not whiskey or beer and got his ass kicked. And, but I think that game and him crying in the locker room was just like, okay, we're done with you. But that was years.
Yeah.
Patterson just didn't give one fuck. It was just like, here's how much money I can bring.
That is true.
And I'm going to squeeze it out of everyone, including your mother.
and also joining us, just now joining us, making his podcast debut, it is Skim Milk Aggie. How are things?
Things are pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Mediocre.
I think I heard Bevo talking about Patterson. That's the only thing I could hear.
Yep. Yes. We are currently laughing at Texas, something I believe you're uniquely qualified to do.
You know what? Texas is a great school. Fine human beings go to Texas. you know, I mean, they have a rich tradition, and I am just so happy that I can be here to support Bevo.
Little brother gets a little wet with you know the hottest prom girl now and now he's talking trash.
Well, I'm not talking trash. Very polite. I am being completely sincere right here.
I
am completely sincere.
Absolute sincerity.
We got some rivalries going on. We got Texas A&M and if Noon's Magician and what's the Clemson blog name again?
Shaking
the Southland. If it were up to them, Syracuse and Clemson would be on the same level.
No, we just hate you guys and enjoy grinding you into a fine paste in basketball and football.
Important question, Mr. Bevo. Was there anyone that you know personally that got, like, stomped on by the dick? I mean, Patterson.
me.
Did you like it? Wait, I'm sorry.
Personal. Shut up. Quiet men are talking. sorry, Susan. Anyway. So, it wasn't Patterson's personally, right? It was just, I was like, with, I haven't heard the stories from Gunnar and Sardi. And I was like, you know what? I don't know the backstory, whatever. Let's see what this guy does.
Yeah, and we always like to think we can have an open mind when somebody comes along and everybody's
like,
complete ass. Yeah, yeah.
Right. It was just like, you know, whatever. You know, it's fucking Trailblazers. Who gives a fuck about the NBA?
That's a valid point.
Yeah.
So I was like, whatever. And then, you know, I saw stuff that he was doing. I started to hear the stories. I was like, okay, this is pretty much in line with what I've heard. But as a member of the Longhorn Foundation, which is basically the fundraising arm for the athletics department, I started to get this. The first change I found was pretty cool. It was a personal touch. They assigned a person, an actual human being, to reach out to members. Which is cool. So I got an email and a phone call from an actual human being. Hey, my name is so-and-so. This is what I'm here for. If you have any questions, here's my number, here's my contact information. So that was cool. But then as the whole tickets, the season tickets and the experience of the game started to roll out, I was just like, you know, this is really kind of impersonal and gross. You know, it was just like, and I will have to say, it's like at Rice, it does feel more of like a pro game environment, right? It's just like, here's all these great things and pay us for them. You know, I have access to a couple different places during the games usually, but now because they're selling alcohol at the games, you can't leave the stadium anymore. So there's no longer, I lost access to one of these, clubs. Because you can't leave the stadium. So it's like really, it's really like generic and kind of sterilized. And it's I don't like that. And I hope they change that now that he's gone. So that's my experience with him and a reason why I'm glad that he's gone.
And in addition to the football struggles, you also have to look at Texas athletics as a whole, too. I mean, the basketball team hasn't been as good as they have been in the past. The baseball hasn't been. I'm not that much of a college baseball guy, but to the best of my knowledge, I don't think they've been coming close to the College World Series either, right? Well, I know it's purely a football move, but.
I personally don't think that that's actually Patterson's fault. I mean, he did make a change with basketball. Augie Garrido has been known as one of the best coaches in college baseball in a long time. And I am speaking up for the Longhorns here, but it is kind of time for him to go.
I mean, definitely football's the big thing that you make an AD decision over, but I'm just saying, like,
Well, I mean, there's so much craziness going on in Texas right now. It's just like, it was the whole, you know, oh my God, Mac is our God because he got us to the MNC in 2009, but then he just lost his shit after that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be a book out there where he finally admits where that is where he lost everything.
Yeah.
Because it's clear. It's clear. The next season, we had a losing season and he never recovered. And it was just, and the program has been a mess since, and it's going to take a while for us to recover. When it comes to basketball and baseball, you know, I can't really speak to how the, you know, Shaka Smart looks like it's a really good hire, but you don't know. Augie, you know, I'm not a baseball person, but, you know, just kind of keeping an eye on them. Last season, it was just like, you knew it, well, nothing was going to happen. And he's old as hell, you know,
yeah.
It's time for like something different to happen. I think the huge changes are going to happen with basketball because they're going to get a new arena with the new medical school going in. We're going to have to get rid of the Irwin Center, which I think is a good thing because then again, when I'm talking about generic and sterile environments, if you've ever been into the Irwin Center or Skim Milk, have you been there?
Yeah, dude, I saw Tom Petty there. It was amazing.
But it's,
I have no idea what happened during that show, but it was great.
I also saw Tool.
Yeah, baby.
That's another one of the same.
But possibly there was a good time had by all.
It's like it's very generic environment. It's not like, you know, I'm here and excited to be at a basketball game. You know, the only thing that's lit in a basketball game is the court itself. Everything else is really kind of dim and dark. It's really, it's just like, ugh, it's gross. The students are on the second level or in or behind the basket. Yeah. Well, because you know what? If people keep talking about how much money Texas has and, you know, people that are giving them that money don't want to sit far away from the court, which I get. But at the same time, they've shoved the students up to the second deck. And or behind the basketball, the baskets. So, and to be honest, Texas has never sold out that arena, even when we were doing well.
I think I think y'all sell out when y'all play A&M or OU or something like that.
Well, there's that, but
yeah, not consistently.
Okay, so maybe those are sellouts. I don't know. I've asked some friends that are really big basketball folks.
Did you at least draw for Kansas?
I mean, it gets people. I mean, certainly, but it's not going to sell out.
Well, isn't it also, especially these things. Is it like 15, 16,000 or something?
16.
Yeah. So that's pretty big for a basketball arena.
Wait, did the Austin Stars play there? Texas Stars play there? Or
no,
did they play somewhere else?
They play in Cedar Park, which is northwest of...
It's a suburb, for Christ's sake.
Suburb out there.
It's like close to where I live, and
suburb
I technically live in Austin.
Hey, now, I'm from America's first suburb.
I'm sorry.
Kansas?
No, Staten Island.
No. No, please. Staten Island should just be part of Jersey already.
Thank you.
Nope. It's all you guys. But, all right, so I guess real football.
Oh, hey. Come on.
We're first going to laugh at Southern Cal.
Southern Cal.
Oh, excuse me. Let me use my serious voice. Is there anyone on the call that would like for us not to laugh at Southern Cal?
Too bad.
I take that as a no.
It's where I wish I had a mute button. It's just nope. Tough shit. I mean, I forget who said it on Twitter, but Southern Cal lost to a team that scored 6 points against Northwestern.
Like, okay, let me back that up. That was 6 points, like two field goals?
Yes, I think. Oh. I believe they scored two field goals against Northwestern.
That's just so sad.
Yeah. I mean,
and what do you want?
Yeah, that's just no bueno. I guess the thing too is we all kind of have thought Stanford was gonna suck this year.
Well, that first game was kind of rough.
Yeah, it was. And then they beat the shit out of Central Florida, but in fairness, everybody's beating the shit out of Central Florida.
I want to see.
Who did Central Florida lose to this week?
Oh, someone bad. I know that.
Yeah, it's like a...
Let's look at the American on the scorecard.
They lost to Furman.
To Furman, who's 1-2, which means they lost to two FCS schools.
Yeah. Wow. They lost to Florida Citro's International.
Not doing well.
Then Stanford, then Furman.
I think at this point, College of Faith can beat UCF.
No. Lamar.
Ooh, let's not say something we can't take back.
No, let's do exactly that.
Okay. College of Faith can beat UCF.
But, hey, maybe UCF will beat the Gamecocks this weekend. God willing.
But, George O'Leary versus Steve Spurrier. Who's more hammered?
Yeah. And I guess the real question with Southern Cal, too, is kind of that. I mean, none of us seem to really buy into the hype of, hey, they're going to be, 10-2, 11-1 this year. But you would have thought there'd be some progress.
Is this Sark's second season there, or is this his first season? This is his first what?
Third.
What?
Oh, third, yeah. Okay. Kippy Cake's last season was my senior year, which is 3 years ago, yeah.
Well, no, this is his second.
Oh, that's right. It was, what's his name was? Kippy Cake started.
Coach O pulled it out, that's right.
Yeah. Kippy Cake started the 2013 season, then got fired. Okay, yeah.
But, and granted, I think they're now finally off the scholarship reductions and da-da-da, but, I mean, it's still FC, and with all that talent, and shit the bed like that.
Well, was Sarkisian never really a good coach? I mean, I remember him at Washington. Like, I watched a game there live, and, I mean, they were playing Colorado, so they looked good. That was the only thing going for them, you know?
Yeah.
They're just flat.
Well, and it's kind of one of those, that's why they're called 7-win Sark. Everyone in the Pac-12, just as a random note, is either 2-1 or 3-0.
Yeah, the Pac-12 South is once again going to eat itself up, I think.
Except for Colorado.
Yeah, well, they'll be.
Pour one out for the Buffs. And you look, they beat the shit out of Arkansas State and Idaho.
That's impressive.
No. I know. I mean, it's
FBS
school.
Right. I mean, Arkansas is jealous of those games, but.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's not hard. I don't know. They'll probably be kind of okay because they're probably not terrible, but. It ain't going to be pretty. And then I guess the question, too, is Stanford kind of for real? Are they going to actually do something, or is this kind of that classic? Stanford pulls one win out of its ass, and then...
Yeah, Stanford has a track record of pulling it off against USC. Remember, the biggest upset in versus history was that game against Southern Cal. So, they generally do well against Southern Cal. And I mean, they'll have it down here, but they have USC's number, so I guess that... I mean, they'll be a bowl team, I think, but, not that great. Maybe, 7-5-ish.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I could see that. Maybe even 8-4, if things go well.
Oh, it's also still early in the season, too. I mean, players are coming off suspensions, injuries in the off season. So, I mean, it's... be interesting to see what happens, as teams develop too, so.
Yeah. No, definitely. It'll be interesting to see what happens though. So I guess also because we're continuing laughing at teams. Clown Fraudulent Auburn.
Oh, God.
Who made the brilliant move of changing quarterbacks.
Yeah, they did. They decided to change quarterbacks.
That's going to work really, really well, guys.
Granted,
yeah,
it can't get much worse than it was on Saturday.
I mean, well,
Muschamp is a genius. You know, he's going to set that defense straight. You know, I mean, he's going to, you know, their offense is going to, you know, fire off because of Muschamp. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it will happen.
That Jacksonville State game was, you know, only a little bit of a fluke. They'll be back. You know, they were just overlooking Jacksonville State to focus on LSU. And, you know, that 7-point game against Louisville, that was just Louisville in garbage time, you know. Louisville was, you know, decent.
God, I mean, it's not even like dodging a bullet. It was just, you know, we would have been killed in a different way if we had kept Muschamp.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That would have been so horrible. He's not even charismatic, you know. I mean, like, and then Texas needs like a charismatic type of coach.
No, but I mean, it's just like you see. I thought it was like when I saw that he was going back to Auburn, I was like, holy shit, that's actually kind of right on. But Jesus.
I'm just happy we got Chavis instead of Helm because I really wanted Muschamp, but I'm glad that I've been wrong so many times in my life.
The thing is, though, like,
don't I know it?
Granted, I mean, I did miss the game most of the game because I was on a plane.
I was gonna say whether Ali had to watch it live or not.
No, we were on a plane for it, but the big kicker about it was that, I mean, they just kind of up and quit.
Yeah.
And that's...
That was what's pitiful.
Right. And it's a little disconcerting because, I mean, they've gone full hog for Gus there. And it's not working out too well for him right now, it seems like.
It's a long time since that exciting night watching football when they came back on Alabama.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
Oh, well, and you think about it too. You take away two plays, that tip and the kick six. I mean, that Gus Malzahn is probably on the hot seat right now. If you take away those two plays, because he would have been, I think they would have been what at that point, 9-3. That season? If I remember. Or no.
What did they be 10-2, right?
They were 11-1, and then.
But they wouldn't have won the SEC West then, though.
Right, so they would have been 9-3 in 2013, which still would have been an improvement for them, but it would have been 9-3, then 2014, 8-5. Or, 8-4. And then now they're 2-1, in 2015. Like, I'm going to guess the Auburn faithful would be a little itchy about that. You know, especially he did so well as a coordinator. Maybe he can't cut it as a head coach or some other nonsense. But it's all right. I will just say Leonard Fournette is a wonderful man, and I would have his babies. And I will enjoy what he does to Syracuse this weekend.
The secret to Syracuse is playing against Syracuse is our secondary shit, so maybe we'll see passing instead of death by Fournette. So in other words, death by passing and Fournette.
LSU so does not pass the ball. No. That Jose Bossermann has a better passing record than LSU quarterbacks.
But hey, now it's still a battle of the undefeateds.
But didn't LSU have a quarterback that was drafted in the top five or something like that? I mean,
but it was the Raiders.
The problem with Jamarcus Russell was that the whole doing work.
That's who you're talking about.
Yeah, Jamarcus Russell didn't really believe in the hard work part of playing quarterback.
Why work when you can get paid?
That's what Cardale Jones asks.
he's starting this weekend, by the way.
Yes, all that.
Yeah, that's. I feel like a pretty dumb decision, but works for me because the quicker Ohio State loses, the happier I'll be.
So yeah, I'm planning that I will be in mourning at the end of the game on Saturday. And usually I know going into Clemson and FSU that I will be sad. But
oh, that is going to be the worst freaking.
No, no, that's not going to be sad. They will have he will have eaten my children. I don't have children, but he'll have
Florida State, okay, at Louisville's not that bad anymore. But then Clemson, that is a murderous three-game stretch if I've ever seen one.
So, in other words, I will be drinking a lot the next few weeks. Just
yeah, from Halloween on, you'll be. I mean, there's South Florida and Virginia, and then Pitt could go either way. But then Florida State, Louisville, Clemson, NC State.
What day is Florida State?
Halloween.
Huh. Oh, well, of course it is. That makes absolute sense.
And I wonder, the Florida State QB is going to go as Jameis Winston. He's going to play like Winston, too.
He didn't seem to do too bad.
Hey, by the way, you know that in the ACC, there's three possible black uniform versus orange uniform matchups on Halloween?
Go away. That's all I got. That makes me sad. And who the us, Miami, and y'all, I'm assuming.
We'll yes, wait. And then Florida State has black alternates. I think someone plays Louisville that day with black alternates. Someone's playing Wake.
And we're playing NC State, who
had black alts. Virginia Tech has orange alts. Too much orange in the ACC.
That, you know, down in Costa Rica.
Did I just hear him say that?
Yes. And down in Costa Rica, I got some shit on Thursday because I was rocking my Clemson swim trunks and a Clemson t-shirt when we went out to lunch. And you know what? Allie, her sister, and Texan's wife were all like, honey, that's too much orange. You can't be doing that here.
Oh, what, were they all wearing red?
Well, see, we went from being like the only orange school in the Big East once Miami and Virginia Tech left. And really in the Northeast, there's what? There's also Princeton, Bucknell, and I think there's one HBCU that has orange. I think Morgan State. And then, so it's like, oh, look at us. We're the only ones in orange. And then we go move to the ACC, and it's like, hey, everyone wears orange. So we'll wear platinum jerseys instead. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the move for Syracuse to get out of the dying carcass that was the Big East and move to the ACC, nice stability, great non-revenues, and riding the coattails of FSU's championship 2 years ago. But yeah, it's like orange. There's like five or six schools with orange in the ACC, which is kind of weird because it's not that much orange elsewhere in FBS.
Yeah, I was harassed and put down upon.
Orange is a good color. I don't know why people go on and on about that. Now, granted, I'm a Syracuse alum. I root for the Islanders and the Mets. So there's a lot of orange going around there.
Again, this is your podcast reminder. Don't be born in New York.
Hey! Hey!
I did some early time in New Jersey when I was a baby.
No way.
No, that's even worse. Then you have to deal with Rutgers.
No, no, it's worse. He doesn't sound like he's from Jersey.
He's okay.
Ooh! Ooh.
But I was back in Texas by the time I was one.
So wait a minute. So you were born in where?
In Arkansas, yeah.
And then how did you end up in New Jersey?
My parents moved there.
Stuff happens, man.
My dad got a job on Wall Street, and then
stuff happens.
Oh my god, like... you're North Jersey.
Well, I think he lives in Kingston. I have no idea about anything.
That's Kingston, New York.
Kingston's New York.
Maybe it's Princeton. We were close to Princeton. I know that.
So you were probably in Windsor?
It's possible. I mean, I was.
He was
kind of
tiny. Tiny.
He was like, I want food. And so I'm going to put my diaper. That's about
okay,
it.
Okay, so he's Aggie Rutgers now.
What?
Oh, fuck you. Fuck.
Well, I mean, Central Jersey's decent, though. I mean, not going to lie. But and then, believe it or not, I'm from New Hampshire. Well, because my parents were both from Long Island, they moved up to New Hampshire. I was born in New Hampshire. Then when we were six, moved back to Long Island. So go UNH Wildcats, continuing to disappoint in hockey. Yay.
Yeah, you sound like you're from New Hampshire.
Not at all.
Wait, so Ryan, you, wait, ever, what was your time in Long Island?
since I was six.
Okay. Yeah. All yeah. Right. You know, the formative era.
Totally makes sense.
Ouch.
No, my you get him even more now, don't you?
No. Exactly. No, my parents were from Long Island to begin with, so, and my all mom's right. from Brooklyn, so that accent is thick to begin with, and then, yeah.
No. No one notices. No.
Right. Well, speaking of accents, in a terrible segue, but that's what we do here.
left turn. Boom!
Hottie toddy, roll tide. I mean... Yes! I didn't think it was going to happen.
You know, I actually kind of, I'd seen some weakness in Alabama earlier. They hadn't been dominating people, and it was hard to tell with Ole Miss, but, you know, they were definitely dominating the teams that they were playing, and I thought they had a chance to really do something special, and they did. You know, they got some lucky breaks, and sometimes against Alabama, that's all you need.
Fucking Chad Kelly. Goddamn asshole. It was, yeah, we were watching this in a restaurant at the Atlanta airport with Apple Cores was the only Ole Miss fan, and everybody else was Bama fans.
Oh, beautiful.
We only saw, like, the first, like, 10 minutes of the game before we had to catch flights, but, like, that kickoff, you felt the air come out of the Bama fans. And it was great.
Yeah.
That has to be an awesome feeling.
Every sad pom-pom shot in the crowd was just glorious.
So as a non-SEC person, I do have a question. So for when another SEC school beats Alabama, do y'all do that reverse rammer jammer thing that Auburn did when they beat them?
I don't – LSU, I've never heard it, but I've only been to a couple Bama games. So
that's so awesome because I love that. I mean, they really don't like that.
No, they don't.
They really don't like that.
I think that needs to be a thing in the SEC. So you SEC folks work on that. Every time y'all beat Alabama, y'all need to do that reverse rammer jammer thing.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I remember is that during shutdown fullback after A&M beat Alabama, there was that little small segment of, like, you know, including A&M into the Rammer Jammer song. Do y'all remember that?
What was it?
It was like, "Hey Aggies, beef is not for barbecue." And then, yeah, but that's all I really know about Rammer Jammer. Like, I guess I'm just not.
There's a video when Cam Newton beat Alabama, and it's fucking, it's awesome. It was in Tuscaloosa, wasn't it?
I think so.
The Auburn band is playing it, and they're playing the whole Rammer Jammer song, but they're singing it back to Alabama, and they're saying, "We just beat the hell out of you," and they end with "Go to hell, Alabama," and it was just like, you could hear the boos just crying down on it. It was awesome. That's got to be something y'all need to start doing.
I would love that.
I think the victories over Alabama are going to become more frequent.
Well, there's two thoughts. A, you can't be dominant forever.
For 10 years, Texas learned that.
Yeah.
No, Texas learned that. That's what I'm saying. It's going to start starting to happen to Alabama. That's where
exactly.
You think piling on.
Everybody starts to figure out, and then a lot of people are doing a lot of things, a lot of new things. Mm-hmm. But they aren't going to fall off the face of the earth because, again, and Saban seems to know a lot of things, so. The headache is...
And he's also kind of tired of Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, there was a big debate on, I want to say it was Dan Patrick, and it's like, oh, man, if it hadn't been for Patterson, did he go too cheap to try to get Nick, and would Nick have gone if Patterson wasn't involved?
I really wish Wes had made it to this call, because he really... he has some like stories that it was a done deal that Saban was going to Texas.
Yeah, it was kind of basically from whatever reporter for, I guess it was either a book or just the tweets where, like, it was a done deal and then kind of Mac fucked it up.
Right.
What the hell you say?
Yeah. How much didn't Mac fuck up? I mean, seriously, it's like, people are talking about how Mac is worried about his legacy. It's like, his legacy is shit now, you know? It's like,
yeah. Oh, that was the other thing. The insanity of people going, I think Mac would be a really good AD. What?
Oh, God.
What?
Same people who think Mac would make a good ESPN analyst.
Yeah.
Well, he is a wonderful ESPN analyst. I can hear that voice every fucking day.
No, you can't, Skim. You can't.
I also admit that I could be talking out of my ass right now. But
possibly, very, very possibly.
That's like the most annoying fucking voice I've ever heard. Like, it's worse than like my 3-year-old screaming.
They stick poor Alan Bestwick with them.
Yeah, I don't mind his voice. I think he doesn't actually know how to speak English and make sense.
Oh, he just knows how to do the corporate speak.
Bullshit.
Oh, yeah. I stopped listening to him about, you know, several years ago, and I was just like, you know, whatever. Just say whatever. You're still making $5 million, and you're pissing away a lot of high school football talent. You know, just say it, go home, whatever. It's, everybody loves you. All the coaches in high school think they're getting stroked off by you, whatever. Just fuck off. And ugh. Sick. Thanks for the two attempts at the national championship, but... Jesus Christ. The last 5 years were just too miserable.
Yeah.
I thought they were kind of neat. I mean, you know, it's just...
But we still won scoreboard against Aggie with the worst Texas team we fielded. But that, you know, so that was...
hey, you know what? This is about to be a Texas A&M bitch fest.
There's going
to
be a fight!
No, this is what happens whenever we get together.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, though. Go on. Skim out.
No, I lost my train of thought.
No, it's a good thing that you don't drink anymore, because I think you and I would probably have fought already.
Oh, God, man. I'm way more restrained. Yeah.
God, imagine if you guys ever actually played each other while we were doing the podcast. Then it'd be fun.
No, I would probably be a nervous wreck the whole time, and I wouldn't even be talking. We're only up by 70. We're gonna fucking blow this lead. I know we're gonna do it.
Speaking of pizza farts,
oh my God, how did he come up?
Segue, hard left. There are two voices on Sirius XM College Football Nation that I am sad to hear when I flip over there, and one is Pizza Farts. Two is Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz
is on Saturday morning in the same time slot he used to be, you know, doing this thing with Reese. And now, or no, he was always on in the afternoon and evening. But now he's on in the morning. Yeah, now he's on in the morning. And then Mr. Pizza Farts is on Tuesday with Mr. Mark Packer. So I can't listen on Tuesdays.
You know, I think Lou Holtz and Mac Brown would be perfect together. Yeah, you know, just set them in a room. Back. Oh my God, that's like a morning sleeper right there.
That's scary. But all right, well, I think we've meandered around the past week.
Miami's back.
Shh. Al Golden's gonna get fired somehow. Even when he wins, they want to fire him.
Yeah. Which will be great for whoever they play this week.
They got Cincinnati next week after a bye this week. Then comes the FSU games, which means they're going to finish the year 5-7 after starting 4-0.
Yeah, but how great would it be if they beat Florida State?
And then lost to Virginia Tech via Beamer Ball the next week?
I don't really care what happens. Just if they beat Florida State, it'd be pretty.
If they finally win the back bowl?
Yes. Back bowl. With Chris Berman on the play-by-play. Oh, God. Help us all. It's a little bit of a depressing schedule because there's really two games and then a couple interesting ones.
There's the Pac-12, and that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously game day's at UCLA Tire Shop, which I,
given the choices, that's really about all you could go to. I mean, you went to the Southern, well, you had the Southern Cal game on primetime the previous week, so yeah, that's really your only choice.
I still think Texas Tech TCU is a big one.
I do too.
Oh, UMass getting UMass getting on national television this week.
What? How did that
against
happen?
Notre
UMass,
Dame.
Notre Dame.
Oh well.
Oh, for Christ's sakes.
I hear the Pope's going to be there.
Bring the Pope into the goddamn country, and UMass gets on TV. Thanks a lot, Catholics.
Tennessee at Florida. That could have been fun.
Well, no. Well, it's going to end up being like, yeah, Florida wins every year. Tennessee. Well, it'll be fun to see how Tennessee finds.
Tennessee's coming along, and
they'll find a fun new way to lose.
Well, we don't know how insane the new Florida State or Florida coach is, because you know he doesn't look as stable as we thought he might be.
Well, he already had that meltdown.
Exactly. Apparently, you have to have meltdowns to go to Florida.
Or fake heart attacks.
Saw that.
Oh, coach. For God's sakes! The Braves just hit a 3-run homer.
This is about football.
I'm sorry.
But he's only got sadness in football.
But hey, the Orioles got up to the lead against the Nets, so magic number might be going down.
Well, you speaking of next week, do you think that Utah's for real?
I think they've certainly got the talent, and with the Pac-12 South kind of being a feeding frenzy, they could do something. I just don't know that they have enough to really.
Yeah,
go against an Oregon.
Yeah, going up to Eugene, I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off. I mean, they'll be good in the Pac-12 South, and they might make it out of the mess that is the Pac-12 South, but...
Oh, that's a good time. That's on at 8:30.
You get Gus Johnson.
I don't care about that.
And commercials. It's Fox.
My website says 7:30, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You're looking at LSU.
He might possibly be in the Central time zone.
Yeah, the Central.
So the nice thing about that, though, is I won't be asleep when that ends.
You'll be asleep for the end of USC Arizona State, though.
And your point?
There might be more Southern Cal lulls.
So I got a funny story from the Alabama game. I basically went up to Ben and said, yeah, this is going to be a struggle fuck. I'm going to bed. And I woke up just because, things happen. And it's 12:20 and the TV's still on. And I'm like, I look up and I'm like, huh. Well, that was an interesting play. I was in for the rest of the game. And then I watched some Fresno State. So,
Wow, you stayed up late.
Yeah, I did skip out on Hawaii. I skipped out on Hawaii.
Your public access television TV rights deal for home games.
I can't believe they made Hawaii go back home and come back.
And Hawaii, yeah, and they got to go to Wisconsin this week.
Oh, Hawaii. Oh.
Where's my friend the Razorback?
How have they not gone bankrupt yet?
Oh, Mr. Egg! Mr. Skim Milk Egg!
What?
You got Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm actually... I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park. I think type of defense...
Excuse me?
Oh, it's the Jerry Jones Bowl that he's always insisted on having that game at Jerry World.
Fuck.
I forgot about that.
Oh, God. Fucking pig, Arkansan.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really hope we just destroy them so
Me
badly
too.
That they can, so that they can just kick that guy out of our conference, because, I mean, I'm all for talking shit, but, I mean, make sure it's against teams you play, and not about their schedules. I mean, shit, yeah. I mean, especially when you're going to fucking shit the bed on Toledo. I mean,
he shit the bed twice and still had a back-ass comment about Cliff. I better have another beer.
How dare you go against the world's greatest looking head coach?
Who's getting paid $3 million to shit the bed at Texas Tech.
Yeah, but he beat Arkansas.
It's like Jocelyn.
He's better than Tuberville. That's the only thing I'll say. He's probably the best coach that Tech can get right now.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest recruiting grounds. If they do something against TCU, which with TCU's defense right now, I mean, I think it's possible that they could actually vie for respectability.
They are a roll. No. Texas Tech is on a, like, there's momentum, right? Everybody
yeah.
thought they're going to be shit. Cliff is pretty. Thank God. But, it's a lot about, they don't get much. But they definitely have a ton of momentum. There's a lot of public expectation now. Like, holy shit, these guys can do something in the Big 12 because the Big 12 is kind of fucked up. I honestly think they're going to – this is a huge game. If they win this. And for some reason I'm still not convinced. For some reason, though, people think that TCU isn't there. And of course, Gary Patterson shooting his mouth off today didn't do much for them. But I think that Texas Tech is gonna do this. This is the feeling.
And they're playing at Lubbock. They're playing at Lubbock.
Yeah, at Lubbock.
That's such a huge deal for them.
This is the thing. This is the feeling that I have about this game that this weekend is the feeling that I had when Texas was going up there in 2008.
I remember that game.
Yeah. Oh, who doesn't?
Dude, I was in Austin for my brother's bachelor party.
Michael Crabtree.
Oh God,
that was Michael.
I was going for Texas that game because it was my brother's bachelor's party, and I mean he went to UT, and so I was going for Texas, and that one play just broke my heart. I was like, oh, I guess let's just go to a strip club and make all this better, because this game is not going to do anything for us.
Yep, I was drinking from a bottle of Jack Daniels after getting and dropped that goddamn interception.
This TCU-Texas Tech game, I have a feeling, is going to be putting up video game numbers. This could totally be a 51-48
affair. The feeling that I had back then is what I have right now, and I think Texas Tech is going to pull this shit out.
Well, and Texas Tech has a knack of just upsetting – people out of nowhere.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, back when Leach was there, anybody that went to Lubbock or whenever you played Texas Tech, it was like, holy, this isn't going to be as easy as as you want it to be. I honestly think they're going to do it this weekend. I really am this close to being able to put money down and saying Texas Tech is going to win this.
I can't find what Wazoo's doing this weekend.
Let's see.
They might be off.
By the way, non-P5 interconference game of the weekend. Got to be Rutgers versus Kansas.
Oh, dear God.
That's such a sad, sad world.
It's God.
Yertle invited a bunch of EDSVS to go to the game. That's an EDSVS meetup, by the way. I'm not going because...
Because you don't like sadness.
No.
Is it a night game? If it's a night game, I might go because I work.
It's 12 p.m. It's exactly when we're getting our ass kicked.
I'd rather watch Syracuse get killed by LSU just for the sake to see what ESPN has up their sleeve for Syracuse's graphics with the new graphics package, because it's really cool with the secondary logos and the campus landscapes.
I'm too stressed out about the Okie Light game that I'm not going to go.
I was wondering about that.
I was
because that's a pretty even match.
Yeah. And it's a huge thing for us. But I was totally about to go just because it's an EDSVS meetup.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going, but yeah, Yertle's getting it together. So it's going to be right on.
Do you guys think Kentucky can beat Mizzou this week?
No.
I don't know.
I mean,
Mizzou was so craptastic against Connecticut.
We watched.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm thinking, man. That's some
you
big 10.
You should have seen it, Brian. We were all like,
Here's the thing. So our flight, we get to the airport 3 hours early, and we're in this lounge area, and we commandeer a TV.
I saw the picture.
Texan uses the Wi-Fi on his computer. We put the game up.
I wonder where the Wi-Fi came from.
And the one game that seemed semi, okay, not a game we wouldn't want to kill ourselves watching, we put on UConn-Mizzou. We saw the whole first half of that game.
Oh, man. That's like yeah.
There were seven of us just sitting there staring. And then, let's be honest, it was then me, Applecore's Texan, and his wife, who were then like, the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. I love Allison. She Texan's wife is so amazing. Yeah. Allison is so right on.
And speaking of Northeast programs, oh, how Army, West Point, Black Knight cadets have fallen. This weekend, they take a trip to Eastern Michigan. And the gray turf at
Ypsilanti.
Army at Eastern Michigan is an even more real thing than Rutgers, Kansas.
The one that was interesting at the same time as ours is whether BYU travels to Michigan well.
I think they will.
It's awfully early.
See, BYU is really good at traveling. I mean, they do it at a young age. They go across the world. And they're ready.
They go door to door.
They go door to door. They get their recruits, and then they fight on Saturday.
No, they travel well because they showed up in numbers at DKR. There were a lot of them there.
Yeah. Mormons are everywhere. Just ask Jimmer Fredette, right? Boat drinks.
Hey, he's from this town.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying, right? Boat drinks. My friend from Gloversville actually went to the state championships that year just to see Jimmer.
Yeah, I was in the crowd. It was good.
That is, that's different.
It's
but yeah, Mormons, sense. Even in upstate New York.
Yeah, hey, I have a Mormon living right next door to my parents. I have a family of Mormons next to my parents. So.
Is that my friend's guy?
No. Okay, so I think I know where your friend lives. He's to the left of the house that's in front of my parents.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because they all think he's weird.
He's really weird, dude.
It seems to be a consensus. He's weird.
The guy that lives directly to the right of my parents' house, if you're facing my house, their family is Mormon.
Okay.
Oh, we found a struggle fuck. Have got UCF at South Carolina.
Spurrier versus O'Leary, the drunken fest.
You know what would be awesome though? Like if Spurrier somehow, you know, he gets fired from, you know, SC, and then he becomes a commentator. Like how
he
awesome
replaces
that
Lee? He has to be Lee Corso's successor.
He has to be.
That would be amazing.
And not on the SEC network.
No. That would be perfect because he would talk shit about all those teams.
Nope, he's going to the big leagues.
No, they would never hire him. He absolutely doesn't give two fucks.
No, they. I mean, I could see
ESPN is too corporate. They are too many friends, and they got to keep this friendship and that friendship and this friendship. No.
Replace when Corso decides to hang him up in the next 3 years. Replace him. Why you want him on Fox Sports 1 with
I'm saying ESPN.
Put Mac Brown with Lee Corso.
They would never use a loose.
Make everybody
like
hate
that.
Football.
I think we already know that Lou Holtz and Mac Brown are a match made in heaven.
Ew. No, but seriously, I would hope that Peyton S. Spurrier ends up on a national broadcast team and not in the SEC network because I would love to watch him and listen.
Think about this, like him with Herb Street, and the whole time Herb Street should have the game, SEC and Spurrier would just be talking shit about Herb Street the whole time.
Yeah. That was so right on.
Oh, ESPN sphincter is going to get tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter.
Yeah,
and
because
tighter.
They're losing so much money.
Exactly.
Everybody's walking away from cable. They need that. So yeah, having Spurrier and Herbie fight each other.
Subscriptions will stay.
Herbie's going to push his little blonde boys all in front of him and shit, and and Spurrier's going to make fun of him. That'd be awesome.
That'd be great. As I said, better. game day because the alternative is Fox Sports 1 with Colin Coward.
Oof. Colored his hair. That was damn funny. Oh, look. He's got some other colored hair now by just traveling to the West Coast.
Like, I don't know, maybe someday NBC Sports has, like, a pregame show, but then it'll be all Notre Dame-centric, but somehow still have BC grad Doug Flutie.
Apparently he's a major asshole, by the way. I didn't know that about
Flutie?
Flutie. Yeah.
Oh, who was it that had the story about cocaine?
Goodison. Was it who told the story at Cedar Point?
Oh, AT. Albino Tornado, I think.
Well, I mean, it comes with
No. It was an AT. It was one of the, I think it was one of the,
Pale Dragon.
Yeah, it was one of the Buckeyes.
Yeah. Where, like, Flutie was basically doing coke, and that's because one of Pale Dragon's buddies didn't go to BC. He was being recruited.
Yeah, he was being recruited, and Flutie was, like, all about coke and, you know, twat, and ditched this kid.
So he left him somewhere while he was doing the tour with him?
Yeah, he was doing coke and, like, you know, finding gas. It was, like, crazy. I was like, holy shit, that's Flutie, really? He has a cereal.
Well, he did then. I don't know that it really is, really.
Frosted Flutie Flakes.
Fuck Boston, the outhouse on the hill. Fuck Boston, BC sucks and always will.
I'm kind of okay with that song. I like it.
No, I mean, the fight song itself is decent, but it's actually, in terms of rival fight songs go, I kind of like it. And the Dropkick Murphys did a really good cover of it, but still, BC sucks.
Hey, that's
except for the Man in Red Bandana is awesome. That's about it with BC.
Apparently... So his cereal was...
It was just wild. Right around the time he was super famous at Boston College. It was.
And when he was on the Bills that one year where they were good.
They re-released it for like a limited time for the 10-year anniversary of the cereal.
It was in Buffalo and Chestnut Hill, and that's about it.
Yeah.
I didn't even buy it in my town.
It makes so much sense for that story, though.
No, I mean, I don't know the story. Well, we have to.
Oh, just that his kid has is autistic. And so the proceeds from the cereal went to his foundation.
Oh, right. Oh, well,
that's not funny.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's the second good thing about BC. They're good with charity work between the Man in the Red Bandana Foundation for 9/11 first responders, I believe it is, and then the Ice Bucket Challenge raised a lot for ALS. And
Craig Finn also came out of BC. You know, he's a front man for the whole study. He's pretty awesome.
But otherwise, BC sucks.
But still, fuck them anyway.
Yeah, still, because they're Boston College. Everything else about them sucks. They're all just a bunch of, like, we didn't get into Duke. It's Duke Light North, and like, oh god, it was way cooler when it was just like a Catholic school for Irish kids that were getting denied by the Ivory Tower. Then they became the Ivory Tower, and act like Duke North, and now they suck. And everyone that goes there kind of says, "Well, except for my friends that go there, they're cool." But other than that, everyone else that I know from BC stink.
Okay, Ryan, you need to stop right now.
I got my Boston, you know, usually I do my Rutgers rant. This time I did my Boston College rant. Next time I'm on, it'll be the UConn rant. Maybe the Johns Hopkins rant.
I don't have enough for rants.
Well, I mean, Syracuse had...
Doctor was shit.
Syracuse has like 50 different rivals, but like 48 of them are in sports other than football.
Did we lose Brian?
No. I'm here.
He's contemplating Flutie Flakes. So I'm looking on Terrapin's timeline. Saddest thing I've done today. Look up football parking options at Rutgers.